Now we can turn to item 10. Mr. Packard.
Or we can continue through to item 7.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We'll take them in order.
Okay.
Thank you.
Item 7 is the low threat and general discharge cases, and we have five enrollments. Three of them for the general waiver of waste discharge requirements. One for ConocoPhillips, a cleanup site in Napomo. One for a gas station in Carpinteria, and one for the Space Launch Complex 6, or SLIC 6, in Santa Barbara County. And two enrollments in the general waiver, or general order for winery wastes. Those are for board information and approval. We do have one card for the Conoco cleanup, so maybe we should go to that, unless there are board questions on any of the other items.
Okay, why don't we then, Mr. Christie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm the director of the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club, and we are pleased to see a general waiver issued for the ConocoPhillips pipeline site and its requirements for remediation, treatment, and monitoring. We hope to see these actions take place promptly and a date determined for the startup of the treatment system. In our letter of July 20th to Mr. Briggs, which does not seem to be included in your staff report and to which we have not yet received a reply, we noted that the likelihood of there being only one leak on a 100-year-old transfer line seems remote and urge that inspection of the three-mile section of line alongside Napomo Creek in the railroad right-of-way, which appears to be its most accessible point, also be required by the board. This would give you a good idea of the likelihood of other leaks on this line and all transfer lines of similar vintage that cross our watersheds. In making this recommendation, we note the length of time that this leak went undiscovered, the additional time that elapsed before that discovery became public knowledge and came before your board, as all the while the impacted soils were approaching the floor of an eroding creek bed. This case would seem to be the appropriate moment for the board to take this additional step to determine if it has a larger problem on its hands and begin to explore the potential extent of petroleum hydrocarbon pollution from abandoned oil transfer lines adjacent to creeks in the Central Coast region. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Staff response to that suggestion?
Well, I can respond to that. There are a mix of active oil lines and historic unused oil lines throughout our region. That particular line goes from Santa Maria to Avila, and then from Avila out to the San Joaquin Valley. Has been in place for maybe 100 years. We have found many places along that line and other lines in that same corridor that have leaked. There have been a number of cleanups undertaken, and I'm not sure if that was an active line or is an active line or one of the inactive ones, but I agree. There could be a program, you know, that we could ask Conoco to put in place to inspect critical areas, you know, near streams and things like that for current or historic leaks, and I'm sure they are out there. We have found quite a few already.
You have found quite a few leaks already?
Right. As work gets done in creek corridors, for instance, the water pipeline that was put in a few years ago found several up in the north part of San Luis Obispo County. There's been several within the city of San Luis Obispo. As people dig along the pipeline, they find those old leaks.
So Conoco is not the only company with oil pipelines, I take it?
Conoco owns the old lines that were put in by Union Oil Company years ago, so they're responsible for those leaks.
Well, do we have any program or requirements that Conoco go through and periodically inspect the lines, is what is being suggested?
Active lines, yes. They do check those. Historic lines, there is not a program.
Okay.
We do the cleanups as they're discovered.
Okay.
Historic lines, are they still held by ConocoPhillips? Do they remain an asset or part of the part of the structure of their system?
They're considered part of their their assets and their liabilities. They're required to clean the leaks up as they're found.
So this is part of a program where the monitoring is focused on active lines, and when a line then goes into disuse, does it just move to a different column and no longer required for monitoring? How does that work?
I'm not sure exactly. I know the state fire marshal is responsible for monitoring active lines, active oil lines. And so that's a program they do. I'm sure that now when they move a line from active to inactive, there's a process for abandoning that line. These are very old lines that we're talking about with very old spills.
Right. So is there any way that we could take a closer look at the status of conditions and transfer conditions and how we can look in terms of these events in the future to start to build a little more oversight or consider how these lines that have been historically inactive,
right,
even prior to the water board perhaps coming online, that we consider where they fit into the larger picture. Because if they are existing in creek corridors, mm-hmm, then there should be something that addresses them, even if it's on a, even if the monitoring interval is further out, but it should fit somewhere into the program.
Right. That's something we can require Conoco to do. I don't want to obligate staff to do that right now. I don't know where it would fit within our priorities and work loads,
right,
but that's something we could definitely do.
Yeah, I would like to see it on the list, at least consider where does it fit in.
Right.
And I want to thank the Sierra Club for bringing it to our attention.
And perhaps, supplementing, my colleague's comment there, what we could ask is what is their decommissioning procedure? Because if a line is deactivated, have they used the flushing process to remove any residual petroleum product from the line? If the line is decommissioned properly, the possibility of a leak is basically being eliminated. Of course, you still would have to deal with historical leaks.
Right.
So I think this may be a way of helping us clarify what's the procedure. Do we just turn off a faucet, or have they gone through the flushing and decommissioning process?
Correct.
Right. Why don't I suggest this? Why doesn't staff just come back to the board as part of the EO report and just find out what's going on with ConocoPhillips, look into this a little bit more, and then perhaps tell the board what staff thinks we should be doing about it, if anything. Does that sound reasonable?
Yep, we can do that.
Mr. Packard?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Mr. Briggs?
Sure. I was just going to add one item for information. John Robertson, Regional Board staff. There's approximately 15 cleanup sites associated with the ConocoPhillips pipeline that we're talking about currently.
Okay.
And I'll also point out that one of the 401 certifications listed in the EO's report is also for this same cleanup site. And I did see on the news the other night some tractors down in there, so they have started already.
Yeah, are any of these releases, if you want to call them that, getting into groundwater or surface water?
Well, this one was beneath groundwater, this one down in Napomo. I can think of a few others that have affected groundwater. One I know affected Tassajara Creek up in near Santa Margarita at a creek crossing. So that's typically how we find them, at a creek crossing or when someone excavates in the groundwater.
So we find about it after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, when do you think we, the board, could be updated on this in an EO report?
Well, we'll need to
next board meeting.
Yeah, we'll need to write a letter to Conoco and get a response and then draft the report.
Okay.
So, December sounds reasonable.
Okay, all right, December. Okay. Anything more on this item number 7? Any other board comments? No? Okay, what is this? All right, agenda item 19. Over here. Let's move